head of a major corporation once described how he had interviewed finalists for key roles in his company. He based his leadership on a conviction, and it was this: the quality of a person's character is infinitely more important than the amount of experience they have, than the degrees they have earned, or the honors they've been awarded. So one of the things he wanted to know before he brought someone in to form an essential role of his within his company was, I want to know, what kind of person are you? And he had a special way he went about doing that. He said, I would invite a candidate in, and they would come into my private office. But rather than sitting behind my desk, I would lead them over to where there were a group of couches and chairs. And I'd invite them to sit down, and I would ask them, would you like a cup of coffee? Would you like a glass of tea? Would you like something? And he said, I'd sit down with them, and we would begin to talk. We didn't talk about my company. We didn't talk about the things we did. We just did small talk. I'd talk to them about their family, about where they came from, and the things they had done in their life. We might talk about sports or whatever activities they were interested in. And he said, I would loosen my tie and take off my coat, and we would talk for a while. And he said, and then when they least expected, I leaned forward, look into their eyes, and ask this question: what is your ultimate purpose in life? What is your purpose? How would you answer that question this morning? If someone got right in your face and said, what's your purpose? What is your life really all about? Let me take it a little bit further. What if I ask you this question? What do you believe is God's purpose for your life as a believer? Why has God put you here? Why are you at this place, at this time, doing what you're doing, loving who you're loving? Why? What is God's purpose for your life? If I had to answer that question, I believe my answer would be very simple. I would simply say, the purpose of my life as a believer is to live for Jesus and to empower others to live for Him as well. Really, when it comes down to it, that's all it's about. That's all I've been doing for the last number of decades, almost as long as Richest Robot. To live for Jesus and to empower other people to live for Him as well. And that's our big little word this Sunday. That little word, for. Live for Jesus. That's how Paul began the passage we read together this morning. He said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And if you can do all of that, I don't expect anything else from you or from me. The Bible describes three qualities that have to be present in a life if it is to be lived for Christ: knowledge, action, and spiritual power. And this morning, I want to talk to you from Colossians about how the Bible says you can have all of those things. And the first thing the Bible says is this: if you're going to live for Christ, then you need a working knowledge of His plan, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. What is it saying? It's saying this: before you can ever begin to live for Christ, you have to know what that means. It's a simple thing to say, I'm going to live for Christ. I want my life to count for Christ. I want to touch people's lives for Christ. Until you stop and ask, so what does that mean? How's it going to flesh itself out in your life? If you're choosing to live for Christ, then how are things going to change? What do you need to know? How are you going to make an intelligent decision about this? Paul prayed, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Because here's the truth, until you understand what the Lord is telling you to do, you can't live it out. Until you know what to do, there's nothing you can do about it. I have to make a confession. It's hard for me to hear those words. It's hard for me to hear, wait until you understand. Because the truth is, I'm a shortcut kind of guy. I don't want to read all of the instructions. I just want to cut to the chase. The first summer after Judith and I got married, we decided that we would do something really special at our house. And so we went to Walmart and we bought our first gas grill. It said right on the box, some assembly required. What it didn't say on that box was, within this box are 100 pieces of stuff you've never seen before. So we opened the box, and now you need to understand, Judith is a very organized kind of person. And so as we opened the box, she laid out each piece on the floor so that we could look at it. Every piece in its place, every piece ready to go, every piece just exactly right. And then she found this funny little white thing with writing on it. Instructions. And I looked at all of that stuff out there, and this tiny little voice in me said, you can do this. And I began putting that grill together. Never done it before. Honest truth, never done it since. But I was sure I could do it. You know the rest of the story. Years later, when we put that grill out on the side of the road for the trash man to take away, there were still parts that were backwards from the way it was supposed to be. And Judith and I, who had started out together saying, isn't this a wonderful thing for us as a young couple to do this together? We will have such a great time. We're saying, get out of my way. Get your elbow out of my... So here's my question. Why is it that people who can't even build a grill without the instructions think they can live their lives without God's directions? And yet people do it every single day. I don't need to know what God says. I can figure this out by myself. I don't need His guidance. I can do this without Him. I am fine all alone. The truth is, it is impossible to live a successful life without God showing you and telling you what to do. Living for Christ means He has to be the one who tells you how to live a life that works. And that can only come from two places. One is His Word before you, and the other is His Holy Spirit within you. And unless both of those things are active and functioning in your life, the chance that you're going to get it right is almost nil. But here's the thing. In both cases, God only speaks when He knows you're listening. Let me share a critical truth with you, okay? If you're sitting down these days in your life and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to start with the beginning of the Gospels. I'm going to read Matthew and I'm going to read through. And the truth is, it's just not saying anything to you. If in your life you decide, I need to pray. I need to pray seriously, not just bless my food. I'm talking about, I want to talk to God. And the truth is, as you pray, God feels like He's far, far away. The problem is not with God. It is not that He is not showing you what you need to see. It is not that He is not telling you what you need to hear. The truth is, there are those times when we get so wrapped up in ourselves and so confident in our own abilities that God just thinks, okay, you're not listening. I'm not talking. And until you pay attention, he's going to wait until you're really seeking him. Paul uses an interesting Greek term in this verse. Usually, the Bible uses the word gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, to refer to knowledge. But here he uses the word epignosis. It's a richer term that means full and complete understanding. I pray that you be filled with the full and complete understanding of God's will. In other words, that you know what God is trying to say. He is giving you everything you need to know. What Paul is trying to say is God's plan for your life, God's desire to teach you, is that you have everything that you need from him. Full and complete knowledge, not a little bit here, not a little bit there, but most of it's a mystery, that as you grow in your faith, you understand more, that you grow in full and complete knowledge. Because a life God blesses is one that understands all he is revealing. A life that is built on the Word and saturated by serious prayer and dependent upon the Holy Spirit's leadership. If you're going to be filled with the knowledge of his will, then all of these elements have to be at work in your life. You have to be going to the Word and saying, who am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to believe? There's a reason that I had you read everything we read this morning. I know there were probably folks out there as we were reading Scripture thinking, wait a minute, this is like the fifth screen and we're still reading. There's a reason, because there's nowhere else in the epistles where the Bible tells us more about who Jesus is and what he's all about than the first chapter of Colossians, where it just takes this huge description and says, this is Jesus. This is Jesus in every dimension of his life. This is Jesus in heaven. This is Jesus in you. This is Jesus in life. This is Jesus. And I wanted us to read it together. And this afternoon when you go home, you pull out your Bible and you go to Colossians and you read that passage again so that you can truly understand this is what the Bible is telling us about Jesus Christ. Built on the Word, saturated in prayer, dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Because here's the truth. You will be given knowledge, epignosis, when you are focused on hearing and following what the Lord says. When you're paying attention, God will speak. Second thing that Colossians says, it says to live for Christ, you have to be ready to walk his way. Scripture continues and says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Never forget this. The Bible never makes a distinction between knowing and doing what God says. We've talked about that before. The idea in the Bible of knowing is I can do this. Not I've read about it or I understand the concept, but I can do this. If you know what the Bible says, if you're surrendered to his lordship, then it changes what you do. Remember, in the New Testament, faith is always a verb. When I think about knowing what God wants you to do, I think it's a little bit like learning how to drive. You know, it's exciting when you're ready to learn how to drive. You finally reach that age where you're old enough to get a learner's permit, and you get that little book and you read it and you try to memorize it because you know you're going to have to take a test on it. And then you get a chance to go out with folks, adults, parents, folks who can help you learn how to drive. And eventually the time comes when you demonstrate you can do it and they give you a license and you're good to go for the rest of your life. But here's the thing about learning how to drive. You can memorize that little book. You can understand everything it says about the rules of the road. You can sit behind the steering wheel. You can even teach a class about driving. But until you crank the engine, you step on the gas, and you start down the road, you don't know how to drive. It's not enough to have it here. You've got to have it here. It's got to be a part of who you are. If you're living for Jesus, then you have to be doing something about it. Colossians describes three ways we are to walk God's way. The first thing is it says this: you are to walk God's way by fully pleasing Him. Fully pleasing Him. What does that say? It says Christ's pleasure is your first priority. Before anything else in my life, I want to know, is God pleased? Is He satisfied with my life? Because I want to be fully pleasing Him. You know, it really is amazing how many things we do in our lives and how much time we take up trying to make folks happy whose opinion really matters to us. A husband or a wife, a parent and a child, a boss at work and an employee. We spend time trying to please people, but especially if these are people that we truly care about and really respect. I want you to think well of me. And the Bible says one of the things that should drive what we do is a desire for God to be pleased. Not because He's made the rules, not because I've got to follow the standards, but because I care about Him. He has loved me, He has saved me, He has redeemed me, He has given me eternal life. I can walk with Him every day, and I want to tell you something. After all that He has done for me, I want Him to be pleased. Can you think of anything better than to think when your name flashes through His mind that He smiles? Jesus Himself told us that that was the ultimate goal of the Christian life, because He's the one who said in Matthew that the most important thing of all is to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well done. Fully pleasing Him. And then the second thing He says is this. He says, and being fruitful. Your life is making a difference for Christ. The evidence of your fruitfulness is found in the lives of the people around you. The great thing about being fruitful is that you don't just sit and focus and worry and concentrate on fruit. But you live for Christ and your life bears fruit, and other people are influenced by who you are and what you believe. And then the third thing He says is this, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now understand something. He's not making a reference to the Bible. This is about your personal relationship with Christ. The truth is, that's the way you live for Him. You increase in the knowledge of God, and the more you know Him and the richer it is, the more you live for Him. Because the truth is, there's no way you're going to do what it takes to live for Christ unless He is impacting you in a personal way all the time. A healthy knowledge of Christ is never static. It is always growing deeper and richer. Your love for Him should be along the same lines as the love we have for one another. You never reach a point where you say, okay, I've loved you enough. Now I'm going to stop, or I'm not going any further than Him. A rich, healthy love life grows deeper and stronger. Yesterday, I got to do one of my very favorite things that I get to do as a pastor. I mean, even more fun than preaching. Yesterday, I got to travel over to Brookwood Hospital and to be with Brandon and Kristen Williams and to welcome their new son, Grant, into the world. He was born at 1:30 yesterday morning. Good-looking young man. And here's the amazing thing. And I looked at Grant, and I looked at the Williams, and already I could tell that Brandon and Kristen love this little boy. If I thought I could walk into that room yesterday and say, you know what, I like that child, I'll give you $1,000 for him. It probably wouldn't have happened. Well, okay, $10,000. $50,000. Now, there does come that point sometimes in the life of your children where you think, hey, but as I was watching them and thinking about how deep and rich their love is and is going to be as Grant grows up and as they get to raise him along with Bryn in their Christian home, I thought about this is how the week ended, but this past week began with you all being so gracious toward my daughter and doing something very special for her as she prepares for her marriage next spring. And what a sweet, sweet time that was, and how important that was to her. And I got to thinking about Judith and remembering when Bethany was born and how much she loved that little girl and how special she was, and about all of the ways that as she was little, Judith dressed her up, and how all along the way, Judith has loved our daughter. But these last few months have been really, really special as I listen to them talking about this upcoming wedding. And as I hear them talking about marriage and such, I'm seeing a deeper, richer kind of love. And I have no doubt that's going to grow richer still, because there are a lot of you out there who are already thinking, yeah, and wait till she gives you grandchildren. You know what I mean? But you know what I'm saying? As time goes by, as life passes, our love grows deeper and richer. And this morning, if you ask Brandon and Kristen, is this the most you're ever going to love your little boy? They would say, oh no, it's just beginning. Wait till you see the things God has in store. Living for Jesus is exactly that way. The relationship is always growing. I have been saved. I am His child. He has a plan for my life. He is going to reward and bless and guide and comfort and strengthen and empower me. And throughout the course of my life, that relationship is going to grow deeper and richer because it's more real. Because as time goes by, I realize more and more how much He cares for me. And then Paul says, to live for Christ, you have to depend upon His strength. In Colossians, Paul makes an incredible declaration. He says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Strengthened with all might. Never forget this. If you're going to live for the Lord, you are never going to be able to do it by yourself. In fact, here's the truth. You are designed to be dependent. You are designed to be dependent upon the Lord. Now understand, I'm not sure I like that. I've already told you I don't like instruction books, and I don't like the idea of somebody saying to me, you're never going to be enough by yourself. You're not going to be able to handle it on your own. You're going to have to depend upon somebody else, because I like to be independent, and I can tell you that because I bet you have that same sense inside of you. Don't tell me I can't do it. I can do it. And here comes the Lord saying to you, you can't do it. You can't do it. You never could. You never will. You can't do it, not by yourself. You have to accept it. You are designed to be dependent. The only resource you have that will never let you down is a constant and ongoing reliance upon the strength that only Christ provides. The good news from Colossians is this: Jesus has done everything for you that you need. Listen to what it says. It says, He has strengthened us. to live a holy life, to know what to do, to be able to care about others, to be able to exercise our spiritual gifts. I can't do this by myself, but He has strengthened me and He has strengthened you. Then it says this, it says, and He has qualified us. He has qualified us to become part of His family. All around you in the world today, you'll hear people saying everybody, every created being is a child of God. No, 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 no. Every person, every created being is someone God loves and wants to save. But you can't get there, not without Jesus. He qualifies us to be what we could never become apart from Him. We are kingdom people. We are God's family. We are the saved and redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, He has delivered us from the power of Satan. He reaches down and rescues those who are helpless to redeem themselves. He reaches down and finds us in the clutches of sin, and He draws us out, and He sets us free. He delivers us from the power of the devil. And then the Bible says He has conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son. He has carried us into the kingdom of His Son. Been reading a book recently, strangely enough, here at football season, and it's a book about Coach Bryant from years ago. And I was talking to one of his former players who became very special to him in the last days of his life, and he said, in the last days of his life, his greatest concern was, have I done enough to get to heaven? And what's the answer? No, he didn't. And you haven't. And none of us ever will. We can't do enough to get to heaven. We have to be conveyed. That is, somebody stronger and bigger and more eternal than ourselves has to pick us up and take us there. And that's what Jesus has done for you. He carried you to where you could never get on your own, into the kingdom of His Son. And because of that, and if your faith is in Christ Jesus, one thing you never need to ask is, have I done enough to get to heaven? Do I have eternal hope? Because the Bible says, it's already been done. When do I get to be part of the kingdom? I don't have to wait. I'm part of the kingdom right now. From the moment I trusted Christ Jesus as Savior, I became part of the kingdom. When I die and when I go to heaven, that's a fulfillment. That's a continuation of something that's already happened in my life and yours, because your trust is in Christ Jesus. He has done for us. In other words, Christ has provided for you so that you can live for Him. So now, it's up to you. He's done everything possible for you to live for Him. He has saved you. He has taught you. He is with you. He is conveying you. There's nothing left except a personal commitment to trust in Him. Through salvation, coming to Christ for the very first time and saying, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I have no hope apart from Christ. So today, I give my life to Him. Through surrender, I recognize it's time for me to give everything back to the one who loved me, so that He can empower me to become what I can't be without Him. Through action, I will trust the Lord. Maybe today is a day for you to take action. In a moment, we're going to stand up and sing an invitation hymn, and it's going to be a chance for you, if you're here, to come forward, to take action and trust in Christ. Maybe that action is an action of salvation. If you're here today and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you don't need to leave here without that issue being settled. You need to trust and surrender to Him. Maybe the action is to become part of this fellowship, because God's calling you to be part of this church, and He wants you to be part of this church, and you know this is where He's planting you. You just need to take action and make that commitment. Maybe it's through surrender. God is speaking to me in a very special way, and I just want to say yes to Him, whatever that might be. Is there a decision you need to make today? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As God speaks, you come.